Are you on dope?
Yes.
What kind?
Musical dope.
You get high?
Yes.
Off of what?
Music.
Are you on a trip or something?
Yes.
What kind of a trip?
Music.
How old are you?
I'm old in mind, but young in age.
Hey, my people, this is Brianna Marie, and you're listening to Soul Discovery, a home uniting sounds of the past, present, and future for the legacy of our music. Stay tuned.
Hello, everybody in Europe. This is Oliver Cheatham. You're listening to the Mick O'Donnell Soul Discovery Show. Don't pop the question if you can't take the answer.
Soul Discovery on a Sunday night live in Detroit, and well, live on the phones from the man himself from Detroit, Oliver Cheatham.
Oh man, I was sitting here listening to it. I go, whoa. It's been a long time since I've heard that song.
Yeah.
You know? Oh man. Tell me what memories. Yeah,
tell me all about it. Well, let's go back for the start. Should we go back to the very day you were born, 24th of February?
I came here running. My mother liked to kill them when I came, because I was born feet first, and I've been running ever since. She told me I can't.
Musically, you were gospelly trained through your mother. How did that all come about?
Well, basically, my mother and my grandmother were singers in the South. You know, they both were in choirs, the Gospeliers, the church group, church choir down in the South. And my father played baseball. So it was 10 uncles, so they was on a black Negro team in those days in the South, playing baseball, traveling around. And my mother and my grandmother sung in the gospel church. So when her and my father, you know, came up north to get a job, my mother was still in the South until he finally came up here and sent for my mother. And that's how it started. You know, when they came up here, my mother was still singing, and I got other relatives in my family, like Doc Cheatham. one of the most famous jazz artists in America. Yeah. But I never knew. I wanted to play baseball.
The dream.
used to come to the house and have jamborees and singing gospel and playing pianos. And my whole thing was sports. I didn't even know that I would like. And in fact, I didn't choose to be a singer. Like I said, I wanted to be a sportsman.
Yeah.
And my mom used to be singing in the kitchen, and I'd be she'd be cooking, and I'd be sitting at the table and singing with her, and what a voice she had, different things, making cakes, and I'd be picking the green beans for her and singing. And my father didn't want my mother to sing, so he kind of stopped her from singing. I still didn't realize that I would be a singer. My father got kind of jealous and said, "No, you got kids and you don't need to be singing." And she told me, "You got the voice from me and your grandmama." But I still hadn't realized that I was going to do that. On the weekends, my relatives would come over to the house, and my father's brother, it was 10 of them, and they would pay me money, but I was bashful. I mean, I didn't want to sing in front of people. So I would get behind the sofa and sing. But I would make a lot of 50-cent pieces for that day, but I still had no idea that this would come to pass. So my father taught me sports. Every time he came from work, he would pitch baseballs to me. Mm. And I would play with older guys because this is what I figured I could do. I did it well, and no doubt, no idea. And then I started to, growing up in junior high school and singing spring concerts, for Christmas plays and all the concerts would come on. My teacher would already put me in. She would even ask or audition me. I was always in there every year. And one thing led to another. My sister had a boyfriend. I walked around with a baseball glove all the time, and it was a guy who lived downstairs in America, that got the two floors. A family lived downstairs, and a young guy named was Billy, and he could sing. And I was sitting on the porch, and this car pulled up, and they went and knocked on his door, and he had a piano in the house, and they auditioned him right there. And I walked in and heard him sing, the guy playing the piano for him, and it was asking him to hit certain notes. And I came in the door and just curious, wondering what Billy was doing, the record company trying to signed him, and I sit there and listen, and I start hitting the notes for him, and he looked at me and said, "Where you live at?" I live upstairs, and they said, "Do you mind? Is your mother?" I said, "My mother's upstairs," and they went upstairs and talked to my mother and said, "We would really like to know if we can audition him or to sing." She said, "I don't think he wants to sing. I know he wants to play sports." She said, "I don't know." She said, "Well, he has a voice." She said, "Yeah, but that's not what he really wanted to do. So, do you mind?" So I said, "No, I really didn't want to at that time because that really wasn't in my head." So they declined on Billy. They didn't really want to sign him. So they went away. Big old limousine went away, and my sister came to me one day, and her boyfriend was in a gang, and they lived on the projects. And he come to visit my home, and I said, "You with him?" And so my mother told Butch, Butch, they call me Butch in the States.
Yeah.
Butch, leave her alone, and blah, blah, blah. So I'm in a singing group. I said, "What?" And one of the singing group got sick. And she said, "My brother can sing." And he said, "What? I'm a Butch?" She said, "Yeah, he can really sing." And he said, "I can't believe it, because everybody thought I was a little tough guy here in the States." And they had a cabaret one time, and they asked me, do he know one song that he could sing with the group? It was a five-man group. And that's when the Young Sirs came. I said, "Yeah, I know that song." So here they had a place called, you give a cabaret. It's a place where everybody go. They bring their own liquor. And I was there with Lil Milton, That's when I was with B.B. King, was on the show.
Wow.
I was real at that time. Then there was five of us. So I only had the one song because I wouldn't, you know, just say, you know, to sing one song with the group. That I only had enough time to do that one song. But once we did, we got on stage, and that was my first time singing with a group or any kind of a singing group, you know, and doing routines and different things like that. And there was a record company out there. And that was the first time I saw on stage, and I've never stopped since.
There is something lovely with your heart, baby. Something lovely with your heart. You never been this way. You always been so gay. That's why I know that there's something the matter, baby, with your heart. Somewhere, somehow, you've been hurt real bad. And if you tell me,
absolutely brilliant. Oliver Cheatham live on Soul Discovery tonight. Oliver, the young sirs. That was on Magic City eventually after that. Was that straight after that performance?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It went right on there. Yeah, it was really, that was surprising, you know, to me, you know, that I was even kind of, whoa.
Wow.
Singing. I got in the group and everybody had to audition with the group, and I love singing background, so I really didn't want to take over the lead singing because they asked me to come into the group. And I said, yeah, I love background, you know, because I made up, I still like now, I write these days, I do all the background and the writing of all the, you know, the different things. But I didn't really, didn't bother me while I was in the background as a background singer or singing lead. Then the record company auditioned the whole group, and they asked me, do you lead? I said, yeah, I do, but, you know, I don't have anything prepared because I just joined the group. And they said, well, if you can come back next week with another, we like the group, we like what we see, and could you sing a song? When I came back the next week, I sang one song, and they said, you're the lead singer. So
how did you feel at the time when they said that to you? Wow.
I didn't know that. I don't know, because I had no intentions on it. I just, you know, I know I could sing, but this group has already been together for a while, so you don't want to just come in because everybody could sing in the group, but you don't just want to come in and take over what you never even thought about even being up there from the beginning. So I just sung a song, and I guess they were trying to see how many singers they did have in the group and what they could do, because they were trying to have a producer listen to us to do an album or a single. So I said, fine, you know, I'll come back with a song. They didn't know either. The group didn't know what they were doing. So when I came back and sung my song, they said, well, we like the whole group. We like the way the unity, everybody can sing, but, you know, we can do different songs, but we want him as the official. We want him as the official lead singer of the group. And that's continued on when, you know, through my career, my life. Every time I sung, someone said, "You, we prefer you to sing the song. We don't care if you include them in certain things, but primarily we want you." And Universal Records did the same thing and saying, "Well, we don't need an author in the fire. We don't need this, but we would love to sign him." And it came on through the years of this doing it. And I've been writing all my life. And people didn't know I wrote, you know, I had Saturday Night a long time ago on papers, you know, because it was my life, the way I lived, getting down Saturday Night, you know, for the weekend.
Yeah.
A lot of things that came about in my career that, you know, I just follow. I just don't have any plans. I just follow where I'm guided, you know.
Yeah, and were you still, when you were in the Young Sirs, and that was initially happening for you, were you still collecting your baseball cards?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I still do. You know, I still love baseball. You know, I love all sports.
Yeah.
But martial arts, baseball, basketball, yeah, but I still do. I still collect. I got a lot of them now in France, you know, because I had a place over there in France. And shirts from here and the hats and the t-shirts. Yeah, I still do.
Okay, well, one particular question then about the martial arts. Did that influence then the Magic City logo? Because that's kind of designed in a Japanese style.
I've been doing it. I had studied, you know, I had different exchange students, and I grew up in the neighborhood. I grew up with a lot of my friend's father was a teacher. You know, he taught it and doing, you know, just kept doing everything, swimming and going to YMCA, doing the judo. So the judo led me into the martial art thing. But, it, you know, it came in my life. It really was something, because I was always on the go, just speedy and a lot of energy. And it just enhanced, you know, it does things for your body. It does things for your breathing. And, you know, so I went through that phase of different things, but still singing. And maybe that's one reason now, the discipline I had. You know, it's kept me now. I feel stronger now than I felt when I first started. As far as vocally and musically, I think I've graduated so much, and I'm still learning. You know, so.
Yeah, back then though, moving on towards the Mad Dog and the Puppies.
Hip Squeeze, and Rodney.
Where did that come from? That name.
The Mad Dog and the Pups. Well, when I got to the company, they already had the Mad Dog. They were already signed. So they had already had a song. I can't think of the name of the song they had, the first song it was. Then when we were signed, I started helping everybody in the company arrange and doing backgrounds on their stuff for them, you know, making it and start the rehearsal with them, getting them more in tune of what they were doing. They came about, and they were doing a lot of shows, you know, the Pups and the girls used to love them. They were something like the Jacksons here, you know.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, they were. They were something like the Jacksons. They could dance, and, you know, the little girls screaming and howling after them. And, oh, yeah, so they were a real good show. They were a real good show group, too, and had a lot of pizzazz. So I started working with them, doing the things with them, you know. So, yeah.
All right. Just a slang gang. We doing our thing. And just a please. We doing a hip squeeze. I ain't me do it. He got a thing that everybody can do. So squeeze. You do it up, him squeeze. The hip squeeze. Oh yeah. Come on, girl. Get in my world. The hip squeeze. Hip squeeze two times. Hip squeeze three times. Hip squeeze four times.
Yeah, totally a different direction, that record.
I tell you, man. No. Oh, dude, that break massive tasks, I tell you. Oh, man.
Wow. What was it like in that period around Detroit? What was happening with the soul scene, R&B, et cetera?
Oh, some of everything. Groups were from everywhere. You know, different groups. You know, the groups that you hear, they got famous, and the Shy Lights, and, you know, everybody was making moves. The OJs, and, you know, it was just a time in the Earth, Wind, and Fire. Was, you know, they were coming and getting stronger and so on. So all the groups that were... man, the Whispers, and you know, everything was starting to bubble at that time. You know, the companies was like from everywhere. You know, so it was just a thing of a lot of young artists were getting started. A lot of young artists were, you know, getting dropped. But you know, you had different Anita Baker and all of us. We were like just going around singing with different little bands and. Chapter 8, and you know, oh man, it was just a thing where everybody was just getting together one way. So yeah, the Dramatics, wow. You know, all of us was one 2 weekends we were on the east side, and the other ones we switching different places because we had followings for each other. So it was a very interesting time in music here. Mm-hmm.
What was the performances like? Who were you on stage with at the time? Who you were performing with?
Oh, well, famous people. We met people that's, oh, man, Tony Orlando and Don. And there you go.
You can sing that for me if you want.
Oh, man. I saw her on TV yesterday. I hadn't seen him in years. I saw she's in a series here now. You know, they went out to Hollywood and got, you know, stopped singing and got real famous in the movies. So, it was just a lot of people. Coming up to, you know, through Detroit. Like, I did a lot of things with the blues, you know. Like, B.B. King was in Detroit a lot. Lil Milton. I used to open up with my group with the Lil Milton and B.B. King.
Yeah.
I've done things with the Temptations. I was asked to sing with Teddy Harris, one of the biggest jazz arrangers. Did all the Motown arrangements, but also had his own, you know, jazz group. You know, playing at a place called Dummy George. It's a real famous jazz, beautiful place. And he would call me and call me and say, "Hey, Butch, you doing anything?" I go, "No." And I knew all them songs like that. So they say, "You think you can fill in with us tonight?" I go down. I go, "Yeah, I'll come on down." And they pay me. I sing jazz, blues.
Yeah, you said about the jazz influences. Donald Byrd, who sadly passed away last week.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and did you get to see him at all?
I did. Oh, him and Roy Ayers, a whole lot of people. They come through here. You know, that's one thing about me and all the musicians that came through here. Mostly came through my manager because they knew him. Everybody knew Marvin. The same one, the Magic of Burning Spear. He owned the Burning Spear, he owned club, and he was bringing artists in. He was booking them, and we would always be on shows. So he would put us on the shows with all these big guys that were coming in here. Hal Melvin and the Blue Notes. They were all, you know, all coming in here. I was getting a chance. I used to watch the Temptations rehearse, you know, right on the boulevard and see him, Dennis, and when David was with the, you know, Tammy Terrell. you know, all these people, you know, me and Paul Williams of the Temptations were real close in 80. So I come right out of the heart of it, you know.
I can hear that, you know, going back to the Mad Dog and the Pups. I can hear, I apologize if I'm wrong, but I can hear influences of the Temptation in there with Norman Whitfield. Is that where you kind of got that riff from?
Someone told me I would be, especially my tenor, someone, Miss Burke, of who had a Magic City, told me that I had a trait that people would never forget. She said, when you sing, people remember you. Mm-hmm. She said this way back when I first started singing. She said, you have a sound and a style that people will never forget it. People will remember you. Bye.
The production on that, the money was spent on that record, wasn't it, with the vocals?
Oh. Yeah, you know who we used? We used all the Motown. We used all the Motown people. You know, George McGregor and all of us, but they used all the Motown musicians when we recorded. We had no synthesizer all day. They were musicians doing that. Yeah.
But you can hear that, and... that was where your sound was coming from. You could hear that, where your direction was heading for, towards.
I would just, you know, I never tried to copy anybody. And when they tried to get me to learn a song, I didn't want to hear nobody else sing it. So that's how I started doing songs my way. You know, if they had a song for me to do that was already written or so, I would learn. I look at the lyrics. I take it home because Al Perkins just do it all the time. He give me a song. I hear it one time. Learn the lyrics, but it's gonna come out my way. I just couldn't sing a song to save my life the same way. So I've always gathered and figured out doing it my way, you know. So
as well, you were going through the labels Black Rock and Grand Junction, etc.
Because one would lead to the other, and they would like knew each other. Then when one goes to, hey, well, Butch, you know, Butch would say, oh, I sing with anybody. I said, give me a song, I'll sing. I would sing it. And then learning the business as I go, you know, as I was going. And I was so happy that all the presidents of those companies always taught me things. You know, they would let me say, you do this, you do that. So I learned the business as I was going to know how to handle myself when I really did get out there. And it paid off to know how to get through this business. It's
and like you said, you were working with Chuck Armstrong, the former road manager of the...
Got with Chuck and did a couple of songs with Chuck. But I knew all of us groups within one company, or next one was down in another company, and we all grew up in the same city together. So, you know, Germanics tried to get me in the group, but it was just too many cooks in the kitchen for me. with them, so I said no. So I went eventually. The record company wanted me as a solo artist. So.
Right, and then the big move came over to Polydor. How did you feel about that one?
Well, that was Marvin. Marvin did that because he, like I said, he knew everybody. He knew from the biggest record deal. What's his name? Clive Davis.
Clive Davis. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, these are big friends of Marvin and all the big promotional people out of the, from, you know, that was in time in that, you know, in that time, but he's still hooked up. He got a part of the casino now here in Detroit. So now they know I'm home. They could not believe I had been gone so long, you know, when I came to Europe.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I left here. I said, Europe is my home, basically, more so than it's been here. And so I came back here to kind of slow down from working a lot. Just to take some time to get my life in order, to start writing, and I've been writing because I write all my life. And I came to put my album. I took time to nourish it. It's ready. It's ready to come. They're designing the covers right now in London, as we speak. So it's going to be on the web, iTunes, and or whatever.
Yeah.
So you'll be hearing a lot of that. So I put a lot of good time in on this. A lot of love songs on this album.
Good. That's what you're.
I came this way because I wanted to. I'm a ballad singer, really.
Yeah, I know you are. Yeah.
Yeah, and I got but I got my fans out there who want to steal that. I got them on there too. So.
Yeah. Well, let's go to this other track on Polydor.
Okay.
With the Gaslights. Lyrically, this is a masterpiece.
Yeah, I wrote that. Yeah.
And oh, girl, don't you know that you're the real me? So I just want to see my eyes every time you walk by.
Oliver, that's
wow. One of my favorites.
Yeah, definitely one of my all-time favourites, that is. Definitely, definitely, definitely. And it was really good of Polydor to put that out at the time, really, you know.
Oh, yeah. We did it with the Delphonics. We traveled with the Delphonics. Quite a bit of those groups. That's when we were really, when them songs came out like that. And it's another one. I did a few more with the Gaslights. They were beautiful ballads. Drifting Away,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
One of my favorites. Quite a few. We traveled with Russell and them quite a bit, all through Philadelphia, all through the, you know, going down through the South when that came out. So we were doing, but beautiful ballads.
You know what? I could make this show go on for hours.
Oh, man.
It's absolutely beautiful, Gaslight.
Oh, thank you, man. Hey, I really appreciate, you know, I do. I really appreciate the people, Europe, all of London, because they're the one who looked after me when I came over there and I left the U.S. And came to London. And I have no regrets. I love Europe so much. And just to thank you so much.
Yeah, well, then you started to change slight direction. You started hitting the dance floors, and
I didn't even know. I didn't even know that because I was singing so many ballads over here that because in America they love ballads. So you know up tempo and everything, but I wrote like when Saturday Night was the first bang, you know, and everybody wanted to be the boss and all them songs, you know. Yeah, but, you know, then it just started that way. So, but it's a lot of people really, you know, even in Europe, because they take Saturday Night and all that, but they really don't know the balance that's coming at them now. Okay,
no, and for me, Saturday Night is an amazing record because of what it done. We'll come to that in a minute. But this was the groundbreaker for that style of music through you.
And yes.
This was taken off the album. So, but big strings, lots of production here. Vocally, you are amazing on this. Amazing.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're anything like me. Sometimes it's so hard to face. Oh,
tight and my nerves are red. I changed clothes and head for the nearest hotel. So come on with me and dance and free your mind. Get down with it, I have a real good time. Dance and free your mind. Forget the hassles, leave them all behind. Have fun and sing, don't you worry about it. Puts my mind at ease. Oh, girl, take my hand, it could help you unwind. Lead you to love at the very same time. Come on with me and dance to free your mind. Yeah, yeah. Oh, honey. Dance to free your mind. Yeah, 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 girl.
Leave them all behind.
For me, that was the groundbreaker. That was the one.
Oh, yeah, that's a free man. Yes.
That's Al Perkins. Tell me how you bumped into him and how that happened.
I tell you what happened is that I had just left my group called Round Trip, and I was coming out of a friend of my house, my girlfriend, in fact, and I knew a guitar player named Jerome Barnes. In fact, he was with. He was with Al Perkins, and they needed a singer. So I was coming out. He knew me, and he asked me. He said, "Butch, he said, what you doing, man?" He said, "I said, no, I'm getting ready to go to Seattle to visit my cousin." He said, "You still with the band?" I said, "No, I'm solo now." He said, "Oh man," he said, "we're looking for a singer, and we already connected with a company, but we're looking for a lead singer." He said, "Can you? What do you think about trying out?" You know, he said, "I already know." He said, "But his name is," I said, "I know Al." I said, "Al Perkins?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah." He said, "So what about going out to?" And I got a keyboard player named Jerome. Now, his name is Jerome. Mm. He got Tyrone, who plays keyboard, will play a few songs, you know, so he can hear how you sound. So I said, "Yeah." It's like auditioning. He said, "I know you don't need it, but they don't know you." I said, "No problem." I went out to his house. I saw one song. He said, "You mean you want to sing with them?" He said,
"Wow."
I said, "Yeah, you know, I know, no problem. It's a band situation, but, you know, I just left a band situation." He said, "But, yeah." So I went, me and Perk got really, I called him Perk, Al Perkins, that he really, really took me under his wing. He really, really said that he thought he had someone really, really special at the company. Then One Way was there. Al Hudson in One Way. I didn't have a record out at the time, and that was the time when they had the big bus, the One Way bus, going on tours with all the, you know, they had quite a few hits here.
Yeah.
Until
how long before you met Kevin McCord at the studio?
Well, he was with One Way.
Yeah.
Okay, so I met the whole group. We was in the same company.
Yeah.
And Al said, "I got a person I want to put with you. You know, Butch, you two should get together. You know, Kevin has a thing about them groove songs or funk songs. Or however, he has a thing about that." He said, "And I'd like to put you two together." So we got together, and he came to my house on a Saturday. That's how I wrote Saturday Night. And he had the little thing called dik 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 dik, and I said, "So I said, He said, "You think you can write something to this butch?" I said, "What?" He said, "I got something in the mind of Saturday something." I said, "You know, I heard the deet deet." I said, "Get down." I said, "Saturday night, then get down Saturday night." I said, "I got some lyrics that go with this, you know." And I wrote it. It came, and I just started writing the song. It just like revealed itself to me because I had it in my book of songs that I just wrote, and that's how the song came, of me writing about my life Saturday morning, Friday's at the end, housework is calling because we couldn't leave the house until we did our work for the weekend. Everybody had something to do, you know, and my mom them couldn't wait for the night to begin, so. He goes, somebody going to a party, my sister go to spend the night with somebody else, and then I'm out with my dogs and with my friends. You know, couldn't wait for the night to begin. So I started writing just about life in the Saturday night all over the world. So I just put it together, and it came out like that, you know, and it's a blessing. Believe me, you know, the song has been a real big blessing to me in my life, you know.
Make love until the morning comes. Gonna have myself some fun. Make love until the morning comes. I like to party. Everybody does. You can wait for the weekend of love to see what you get into. But you got to get down, even if you stay at home. Make love and listen to some music. You got to let yourself go, girl. You work all week long. You work your fingers to the bone. Fridays at an end, yeah.
Definitely a feel-good record. Wow. Lyrically, absolutely brilliant, and filled many a dance floor all over the world, like you said. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm so thankful, you know, that, you know, the people enjoyed it, and it's just been a pleasure. You know, I just take things as they come, and just been blessed and thankful, you know, through my career. And right now, I'm just want to bring something better, you know, things that just to keep bringing music, man, just to help for people just to enjoy what I do is just that's a blessing to me.
Yeah, and let's talk about your current release, which is going very well over in the UK. Fantastic lyrics. Don't pop the question if you can't take this. Explain. Is that a girlfriend?
Yeah, that's for anybody. Don't worry, else, you know, if you don't want to know the answer. And you already know it, but don't say that. Don't ask if you don't really just be telling the truth. You say, don't pop the question. Don't pop the question if you can't take the answer. I mean, don't ask me if you don't can't take. If I'm gonna say no, don't ask me. If you know I'm gonna say no, if you can't take it, if you can't take no, or if you can't say I love you, it goes either way. Don't pop the question. Don't ask me if you don't want to really know. And me and my cousin, when we were walking in Detroit, I had no idea I'd ever come to Europe at the time when that was. When the song was written, I didn't know where it was. We didn't know where it was until it was in the 70s when we did it. Yeah. The 70s when we wrote that song.
Yeah, and it was found, and it was on a forgotten acetate. So
yeah, wow. Exactly. And when David called me, he said, "Is this Oliver Cheatham?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, I have some songs here, and we want to know." I told him it's you, and somebody else said it was someone else. And he put it on the telephone limit, and I started singing it. He said, I told him it was you.
So how did you feel when a record company came back to you and said, "We're going to release this on a final 7-inch?
I didn't know. I was just like, huh? I was still in shock when he was telling me. I said, "You finna release what?" He said, "We wanted to have to get your permission. We're going to send you the papers and what." I said, huh? And I was still wondering, where that song come from?
Right,
where
yeah.
did you get it? I said, where did you get that song?
Yeah, but I'll bet it was a shock as well, like we said, regarding the vinyl coming out on a 7, because that doesn't really happen in the USA now, does it?
No.
No.
That's what I said. He sent me a box with a song, and I looked at it. I thought it was sending me some CDs. I went in the box. I said, "I'm 45. I said, well, yeah. I couldn't believe it. I say, huh? They're going back to it, I guess, to the vinyls, you know?
Yeah, it's for the quality. It's far superior on the recording. It really is.
Yeah. Definitely. Oh, God, man.
Moving forward for 2013, yeah. You're coming back into Europe and you're going to be mm-hmm. touring around, and you've got a new CD coming out, which that'll be out shortly, I believe. What else have you got? Are you doing any? You're going back in the studio, recording and writing? Yes,
I just finished. I got the whole album is finished.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So I'm writing all the time. You know, yeah. I've been asked to do a song with a guy in Paris. Well, I've been promising him I would do a song with him, but he sounds like Barry White. You know, he's the director of Disney Paris.
Wow.
His name is Big Tony. but doing kinked, can't get enough of your love, babe. That Barry White song.
Yeah,
trying to, darling, I can't get enough of your love, babe.
Yeah, you're
you know
right.
That song. Yeah, I'm going to redo it. I'm doing a duet with him, so I'm going to record it in London or either in Paris.
Okay. Any other any artists that you're going to be working with in the foreseeable future?
I got a band in Nice. I'm going to Nice to start get my show. I got a concert I'm doing in Germany.
Yeah.
At the Baltic Soul Weekend.
Weekend, yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I see that.
I'm doing that in April. I'm doing a concert there, and then I'm ready to get back to work now. Doing shows. Yeah.
When you do that weekend, to be ready.
I'm cool.
Yeah. Well, cool. Me telling you, but I really, really thank you very much for this interview tonight. It's beautiful. Absolutely.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know what? It's very easy. Like, you know, I know you. You know, so it's just. And thank you. Thank you for having me. And
no, and we'll catch up. We'll catch up in a few months' time, and we'll do it all again. So, is there a message that you want to say to the listeners in Europe?
Yes, I do. God bless everybody. I've really feel that London and Europe is my home. That when I came in '84, that's where I stayed, and everyone took me under their wing and their arm, and I love you all for that. And I'm just going to try to keep bringing. I haven't gone anywhere. I'm just stop and take a breather and put the music out there. I hope everybody enjoyed the new city and what's going. Okay,
Oliver Cheatham, the man from Detroit. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, my man. Take care of yourself too. Okay. Okay. Oh, yeah. Good guys don't make good lovers.
Yeah.
It's the truth. Bad guys see the weed.
Yeah, you're right there. So, definitely. And never doing wrong. The girl I loved left with another man.